Herbert Hoover was president when a law was passed in Michigan to make panhandling a criminal misdemeanor. That 1929 law stood until last August, and that's when the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the law, saying it trampled on the rights of free speech. Police in Grand Rapids had made pretty vigorous use of that now overturned law, arresting hundreds for panhandling over the years. With the state law overturned, Grand Rapids and other cities are trying to figure out just how to keep a lid on aggressive panhandling, yet respecting the constitutional right to free speech. Last night, the Grand Rapids City Commission had a meeting on proposed changes to local ordinances. Michigan Radio's West Michigan reporter Lindsay Smith joins us. What happened last night, Lindsay?
The City Commission was set to vote on these local laws that would deal with basically time, manner, and place restrictions is how they frame this, that this is pretty common for free speech laws that, yes, you have a right to free speech, but the Supreme Court has recognized that there can be limits for certain reasons to that free speech. So they're trying to figure out when, where that would be acceptable or not. One of the main things that commissioners have focused on and that there seems to be some agreement about is panhandling right next to streets. So like you see people when you get on and off the freeway or on certain street corners holding signs, mm-hmm. approaching vehicles. People have gotten hit. Their causes kind of can be caused some traffic problems. So there's some public safety issues that they have recognized there. They tried to vote on that amendment separately, but there wasn't support for it. So there's been a lot of pushback on these proposed changes to the local laws. I feel like there's two separate issues here. There's the free speech issue, and then there's a lot of people who are concerned that we try to help people who are in need, right? So how do we do that? How do we make sure that we're not just pushing people who need help into the background? So what the commission decided was that they've got enough pushback at this point that they need to study this issue further. So next week, they'll sort of unveil the process for, it sounds like it'll be at least a couple of months to study the issue better, to come up with more clear laws on how designating when and where you could beg for money. And what exactly are the safety issues and concerns, and are they legitimate or not?
And I'm wondering if the proposed changes, for example, saying don't come out in traffic and don't come near roads, would they also then extend to kids holding signs and jumping up and down for a car wash, or maybe firefighters out with the Fill the Boot campaign? Would they be unilaterally applied?
Yeah, and that was part of the argument that came up. And the city's attorney has said that some of these cases, these people are breaking laws because of it's like a local sign ordinance that you're not supposed to be hold. You know, you have to get a permit to hold a certain kind of sign out. But it may be in a case where the city's not really enforcing it. So is there selective enforcement going on? So, yeah, this will be part of the I guarantee this will be part of this broader conversation as the city sort of works through, you know, what should be allowed and what shouldn't.
So at least for now, street corner panhandling is not illegal in Grand Rapids, yes?
It's definitely going on, and it's definitely not illegal.
Michigan Radio's West Michigan reporter Lindsay Smith. Thanks so much, Lindsay.
Oh, no problem.
Keeping a close eye on all of this is the ACLU of Michigan. We're joined now by ACLU of Michigan attorney Miriam Aukerman. Miriam, what are your thoughts on what happened last night in Grand Rapids?
I was pleased to see that Grand Rapids is looking at this carefully and taking some time to study the issue, not rushing forward as it looked like it would be doing earlier. And so I'm really pleased that the commission is taking time. There are a lot of moral, legal, and financial issues that cities should look at in relation to panhandling ordinances, and Grand Rapids is taking time to do that.
And I know Grand Rapids Mayor George Hartwell last night talked about concerns that the ACLU might indeed sue Grand Rapids over any restrictions. So he called for a period of study to come up with local rules that basically don't get the city sued. I'm wondering, is that possible? And are there restrictions and modifications on panhandling that the ACLU would find did not trample on constitutional free speech rights?
Well, let me start by saying that after the Sixth Circuit decision, we did a review of panhandling ordinances across the state, and many the state law was held unconstitutional, and many municipalities have local ordinances. We wrote to over 80 local municipalities asking them to repeal or revise the ordinances, and I'm happy to say that about 55 of them have either repealed, gotten rid of the ordinances they have, or have amended them, have changed them, or are reviewing them, and so many cities are actually doing the opposite of what Grand Rapids is doing and saying, in light of this decision, we want to protect free speech. We want to make sure that everybody who needs help can ask for help in our city. Unfortunately, Grand Rapids seems to want to move, or some people in Grand Rapids want to move in the opposite direction.
Well, Miriam, when you say some municipalities amended their rules, what kind of amendments are you talking about? What would that kind of rule look like?
A variety of ways in which cities have tried to restrict panhandling, and each of them presents different moral and legal challenges. The proposed Grand Rapids ordinance would, for example, make it illegal to panhandle 15 feet from it, any building with an ATM in it, 15 feet from a bus station, 15 feet from a taxi stand, lots and lots of different places.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the issues, there's a number of legal issues with those kinds of restrictions, because first of all, it's very hard to know where you can and cannot ask for help if, for example, who knows whether a building has an ATM in it. The other issue is how much of a city is then actually off limits. And one of the things that we've asked of Grand Rapids is if you're going to do something like this, you really need to map it, because if you are effectively doing what the court said you couldn't do, which is to ban panhandling throughout the city, then the court is going to have real concerns about that.
I know another angle of this was raised by Michigan's Attorney General when he was arguing in favor of the state law last year, and he argued the statute was justified because it prevented fraud. Is there a way to do that, to prevent fraud and not infringe on free speech, or does it come down to me as someone who's going to decide whether to hand that person a dollar bill or not?
I think Judge Yonker, in his decision, finding the state law unconstitutional, said it exactly right, which is that we already have laws against fraud. We have laws against interfering with traffic. We have laws against lots of the conduct that people are concerned about. And what government can do is enforce laws that target fraud, that target interfering with traffic, without trampling on free speech. The problem comes when the government targets speech rather than conduct, and that's what these ordinances do. What we need to be doing, whether it's fraud, whether it's traffic concerns, we need to be focusing on the conduct. So if someone is interfering with traffic, whether that's a panhandler, whether that's a fireman collecting in a boot, whether that's a kid jumping up and down trying to get you to come to their car wash, on the side of the road, whether that's a person asking for directions. If the person is interfering with traffic, well, then we have laws against that. Mm. But what we shouldn't be doing is focusing on speech, because that's when we have constitutional problems.
Miriam, where do you see this debate winding up? I mean, we're focusing the spotlight on Grand Rapids. I'm sure similar conversations are happening in other cities. Where do you see this going?
These conversations are happening across the state in Michigan and across the country, and courts have been looking at these ordinances, many of them saying that these ordinances are unconstitutional and that we can't simply sweep poverty under the rug. We can't simply say that we don't want to see it, that we have to protect people's free speech rights. And so I think this is going to be a continuing conversation. It's a conversation that has very significant moral and legal implications, as well as financial implications. And one of the things that we certainly want cities to consider as they think about that is just what it costs to actually prosecute people for being poor. There was a study recently in Florida that showed that the cost of incarcerating just 37 chronically homeless people who are repeatedly committing these types of offenses was about $5 million over a 10-year period for just 37 people. And we found in Grand Rapids that the average person who was arrested for begging was spending 6 days in jail. So there's a tremendous financial cost, there's a moral cost, and I guess our hope really is that instead of turning to criminalizing poverty, we would really turn the conversation to how do we address the root causes of poverty? How do we provide the services that people need? A person who's homeless on the street costs taxpayers $31,000 a year, whereas providing supportive housing is going to cost about $10,000 a year. So aside from the legal and moral implications, there's also just the plain financial question of what is the best way to address poverty. And the best way is not to criminalize people for being poor or to criminalize people for needing help, but rather to provide that hand up to really real change, supportive housing, and the kinds of services people need to get back on their feet.
Miriam Aukerman is an attorney with the Michigan ACLU. Miriam, thanks for talking with us.
Good to be here.